Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Tuesday night. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And you know what? I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So, without further ado, let us go into prayer before we enter into the message tonight. Praise be to God. So wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me? Let us petition the Lord together. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of thy precious Son, Jesus Christ, for this opportunity once again to go into the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us opportunity to approach you in humility. And Lord God, that we can make our requests known unto you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you will bless us with the presence of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, and release understanding and revelation and light unto us. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. God bless all of you once again on this blessed Tuesday night. I want to give you a few scriptures on this subject tonight. I want to start from, if you got your Bibles with you, the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 29 and 30. The book of Acts chapter 17, verse 29 and 30. I'm going to give you a few scriptures on this topic tonight. The title of this topic is The Most Blamed Person in History. The Most Blamed Person in History. Hallelujah. Hikalabashata. I sense the Holy Ghost. I want to read verse 29 and 30. Amen. In the book of Acts chapter 17. And the Word of God says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent." Verse 29 talks about the Godhead, and the Godhead is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Apostle Paul is helping us to understand and know that we don't need to think that the Godhead, it's a natural or material thing. And you said, "Well, Brother Nate, why are you starting from this verse here?" Because I'm giving you the scripture to show you that God is a person. Once again, the title of this message is The Most Blamed Person in History. The most blamed person in history is our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in this day and time, no one else will be blamed more than him. this had come to me because I had had a conversation with a man, and we was talking about this particular well-known person here on earth who passed. And I was trying to tell the man, I hope that people see a lesson in this person passing. You know, people think that they have all day to get themselves right. You know, you need to start getting yourself right with God now. And so the guy made a comment to me, which he had made a few times before. And he said, well, Nate, if it's your time, it's your time. And if God called, since God called you, God called you. I said, wait a minute. And this is where, and I'm going to go and give you a few more scriptures that this come to me. God is the most blamed person of all time. It seemed like whenever somebody dies, no matter what they die of, people are so quick to say it's their time. Or they're so quick to say, where's their time? God called them. When people die, those that remain here be saying things like, why God? Why did you take them? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Hallelujah. And they forget something. I want to read a verse from the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message called Message 27. That Jesus sent through the Elijah, September the 2nd, 1931. And I want to read a verse out of here because I just told you that people forget something, okay? Like I had to tell him, this guy. The word of the Lord says, this is what Jesus had his angel to tell mankind, or those that will be of the bride, God's people, listen to these words. He said, beware, be careful in your travel for Satan will seek to destroy and hinder the Lord's work that I told you to do. This is a time of turmoil and distress, for Satan will send destruction everywhere. Build ye upon the foundation Christ has laid. People forget that there is a devil. Amen. And it seems like everybody that's died, say, oh, Lord, Lord, why did you do this? Lord, why did you take him? It was his time and all that. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I told my wife, I think that was yesterday, I said, sometimes I don't know if it's righteous indignation in me, or it's just me just getting angry, when people are so quick to blame my God. They're so quick to say, God did it. God took them. In fact, it ain't got so bad that you hear this even from the pulpits, speaking it over to the people and say, it's your time, and God did it and all that, and they leave out the devil. I guarantee you, many of you that are listening now, if somebody kept blaming you for something you didn't do or say, many of you get hot, mad, and be ready to fight. I opened up with Acts 17 to show you that God is a person. So I wonder, what do you think he feel? What do you think how he feel? When I was talking to the guy that I was telling you about, once again, when he said this to me, this is not the only time he said this, okay? He has said it before, a few times before. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And let's look at, for mankind, the beginning of blaming God. the beginning of blaming God. Hallelujah. You know, I sense the Holy Ghost right now. Thank you, Jesus. The beginning of blaming God. You know, God, when he created Adam, he gave Adam an assignment in dressing and in watching over the garden. And he gave Adam this instruction. He said, now, Adam, all the trees of this garden you can eat from it except that one tree right there, Adam. Now, Adam, don't fool that tree. Because, Adam, the day you eat from it, you're going to die. Well, we know that Adam disobeyed. And so, when we get to verse 12 in chapter 3, Adam has disobeyed. And now God is talking with Adam. And in verse 11, God asks Adam, who told you you were naked? Has you eaten of the tree whereby commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now look at verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now many people look at this verse and say he blamed Eve. And in the sense, he did blame Eve. But Eve was not the only one he blamed. I want you to understand that. Because if he were just only just blaming Eve, he would have said, the woman, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. But see, he had to throw God in there. He said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Have you ever given somebody something and they use it for the wrong thing, and they come and tell you, well, if you wouldn't have gave me this, I wouldn't have been able to do this. Okay? So they're putting the blame on you too. And so Adam, instead of taking up responsibility to say, you know what, I messed up, you know, I gave in to what she, when she offered to me. He had to throw God in there. I don't know if he was thinking that maybe I can hit God in the heart and make him show some sympathy and feel some guilt for giving me this woman. This is the beginning of the blame game. And many are operating in this fallen spirit of Adam. Sad to say, even some church folks, that they're blaming God for failures, for death of loved ones. They're blaming God for practically just everything. And overlooking that there is a devil. They're blaming God. And not taking accountability for themselves, that these things that hit them, that they perhaps have opened the door to these things. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, he said, the wages of sin is death. See, the pulpits are not delivering this message enough to the people. You have few of the pulpits delivering the message that, hey, repent or your sin's going to find you out. Repent because sin brings consequences. Few pulpits are preaching it. Many other pulpits are not preaching it, and it's not that all of them don't know it. Some of them are too scared to preach it because they know that some of the members in the congregation is doing some stuff they ain't got no business doing. And they're afraid that if they preach on sin and the consequences it brings, that their members is going to thin out. So they care more about how many bodies they have in the building than actually for the soul of the people. See, when you do something like that, you ain't showing that you love the soul. When you love the soul, you'll give them the actual truth. Amen. But you want to keep the truth from them because you want to keep them a member. That's not showing the love of God. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And so this became the beginning of the blame game. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hida bashata. And people are praying. That's some area. Hallelujah. And I've come across people like that. Somebody died. They said, "Well, it was his time," or "Well, or God did this," or what? And people. And here's the sad thing about it too. And I pray that I pray that some of you that's listening are in leadership and you're ministers. If you're preaching this, if you're the one throwing up there that's saying, okay, it was God's will that they die for cancer. It's God's will that they die killed in the car accident. It's God's will. Oh, it was their time. Blah, 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 when they on crack and the crack kill them and all that. If you're doing that, I want you to understand something. See, some people, through hearing that, and it's been, the many pulpits have been preaching and teaching stuff like that for the longest, that where they have put like all the blame on God. Now you got people, whenever they lose a loved one, or someone close to them or something like that, they're mad with God. They don't even think about a devil now. They don't think about a devil. They're mad at God. And some of these same people, when you come to give them the word of comfort and say, "Hey, Jesus can comfort you," they cuss you out. Because the first thing they said, "Well, if Jesus such and such a did this and that, how come he took my brother? How come he took my mother or my daddy? How come he had them to die in that car wreck and blah, blah, blah?" Amen. Because that has been a popular message. That is like when anybody dies, "Oh, it's the Lord. He did it." Amen. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Thank God for the word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 1. One and two. Now look what the word of God says. "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted." Now I want to stop there. The reason why I read these two verses, because once again, here's their most famous quote. Just like the guy I was telling you about was talking to me, he said, "When Nate, you know, there's a time to, you got a time to die." Now, the Bible says that, right? Amen. But understand this. Just because it said you got a time to die doesn't mean that you can't die before that time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like if you was cooking a certain recipe, and you got the instructions on cooking that recipe, and it says you need to, after you then put everything together, you need to bake it in the oven 50 minutes. That's the time you're given for it to come out right. You're given 50 minutes. Okay. Even though it told you 50 minutes, that don't mean you couldn't take it out before the time. Amen. For those of you that got ovens, you just, open your oven, stick the stuff in there. So even though it told you 50 minutes, it's not like that when you put it in there, it's going to hold the door closed until the 50 minutes up. You got the power to open the door and take it out before the 50 minutes. But what will happen? It could be ruined because you were given a time. So when I hear people say, "Well, you know, the Bible said you got a time to die." I say, "Yes, yeah, a time to die, but you can die before that time. Yes, God have an appointed time for men, but you can die before that time. You can do something to cause what is called premature death." Just like he says here, it's a time to be born, okay? Well, you have heard of children, babies being born prematurely, have you? Amen. So you got people running up here, and every time somebody dies, oh, it was their time. And I said, how do you know that? Old Joe on drugs, and he snorted so much, now he done had a heart attack and it killed him, and you're going to tell me that was his time. And see, when people start talking about it is his time, then they got to blame, put God in the blame game. God just took him. God called him on because it was his time. No, man. Not God's time. Not the time of God for you to die on drugs and have a heart attack. Come on. Amen. When are we going to realize that there is a devil also? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. My God. Oh, my Lord. This is and I've heard many church folks say this scripture. That's popular. You know, there's a time to die. Whenever they want to justify them saying, oh, Joe, had such and such, he died. Well, it was his time. I said, well, how do you know that? Well, you know, the Bible said there's a time to die. I said, well, can you die before your time? So you're telling me every way people went out, it was their time. Hallelujah. My question to you is, what kind of God you think we serve? A God that take pleasure in hurting his kids to get them to, quote, leave this earth? See, we're not preaching the gospel fully. We're not preaching to people about sin and how sin brings consequences and how sin can cause your time to be cut short. Listen, let's talk about another example of timing. Pork. Now, if I was eating so much pork that my blood pressure is so high, I'm about to bust. And let's go, not only just God telling me, but let's say even the doctor say, look, you need to cut down that pork. Well, actually, you need to leave the pork alone, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And then I'm even talking to God. God healed me, and God said, leave that pork alone. Okay. If I continue to eat that pork, and it raising my blood pressure like it is, and it killed me, what are you going to say? It was my time? No. But I caused my death prematurely because it was not God's will for me to go out like that. I was in disobedience and opened the door. Period. But people take comfort in their loved ones because, see, this is why, and I don't mean be funny when I say this, but this is one of the reasons why, too, I really don't like doing funerals for people that's not saved. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some people who claim to be saved doing all kinds of devilment, but especially people that's not saved because, and I'm going to tell you why, because the family that's sitting there, many of them want you to say, old Joe was a good man. Old Joe is in heaven. Because you notice that sometimes, almost every funeral, when somebody died, they in heaven. They up there in the pearly gates. And some of the same person that when you talk about Jesus, they cuss you out and cuss the Lord and everything. But now they up in the pearly gates. And so when you're preaching the funeral, many of the family members are looking for you to say that about old Joe. Old Joe was a nice man. He'll give you the shirt off his back. When really, in reality, old Joe was stealing from you, cussing you out, doing everything evil under the sun, and then told you he didn't want nothing to do with Jesus, but yet still we putting him in the pearly gates up in heaven. If God were to have anything to do with people's death per se in a bad way, you can look for his judgment he spoke on them, and that would be because of sin. Now, have God called some people home for a wise purpose? Yes. but that is not his will for you to go out smoking crack or being unwise in your eating, cause your blood pressure up and you have a heart attack and die. That's not God's will. Okay? Or you to be dying in car wrecks and stuff. That's not God's will. Hallelujah. I know that some of you maybe listened to the broadcast yesterday, Brother Emmanuel Murphy brought, and I didn't know he was going to have that broadcast on that subject until actually, you know, a little bit before I came on there. And, you know, he was asking about Kobe Bryant, and he asked a question. You know, it was said that Kobe said to Tracy McGrady when he was around him one time that Kobe kept looking at Michael Jordan's tapes on Michael Jordan over and over and over. And he kept asking, he started asking Kobe, why do you keep looking at this over and over? So Kobe said, I want to be the greatest of all time, and I want to die young. And so, you know, Brother Manny, he asked a question. He said, do you think this could have something to do with this? And my answer to that was yes. Because the Bible said life and death is in the power of the tongue. You can speak curses on yourself. Amen. And instead of people recognizing that, when the person dies, oh, it was his time, and God took him. God did it. It was his time. Well, what about if the person was in sin doing something that they had no business doing, and it opened up a door for death? Because remember, Romans 6 said that the wages of sin is death. But because they're our loved ones, and we wouldn't think of them to doing nothing wrong. And they, because when you hear some of the funerals, I have to be honest with you, not trying to be funny, but some of the people you know, and when you hear the family get up and testify about them, they saying all this, quote, real great stuff about them, and you sitting there wondering, like, who are they talking about? Once again, I'm not trying to be funny. When they say, oh, yeah, old Joe, man, Joe will give you the shirt off his back, he'll give you his last. And you be sitting there like, what? Not that Joe, wait a minute. What Joe funeral we at? Not the Joe I know. The Joe I know said, hey, every man for himself. And Joe was always trying to get from you. But now that Joe and died, the first thing we said, well, it was his time. God took him. It was his time. Well, could Joe have been in sin and opened up the door for death? We see Adam did. Adam caused us all to be in trouble. The Bible said death came by sin. Amen. But yes, once again, God is blamed. I want to look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And should be verse 5. And I want to tell you, show you, give to you why I turn to this verse here. Verse 4 and 5. Verse 5 is going to be our key verse that I want to look at. Amen. The word of God says, I'm going to start at verse 3 and go to verse 5. It said, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, or in other words, mockers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, notice that Peter said, for this they willingly are ignorant. Now, the original Greek word there for willingly means chose, to choose, or prefer. Okay? Now, we have all at some point or another spoke some things out of ignorance. Okay? We all at some point or another, and still, there are certain areas in our life that we are in ignorance. Okay? And I understand that sometimes people say certain things concerning God out of ignorance. Some are saying it because they just heard either some minister say it, or they heard somebody say it. They don't really know for themselves. okay? And some have spoken such things because they just don't know. They think they know, but they don't know. But there are others, people, who are willingly ignorant. They choose not to know nothing, but be some of the same ones talking big time. Amen. These are some of the people that will let you know that they don't have time to get in the Word. Even though they tell you, well, I know I'm supposed to be doing it, but hey, I just be so, there's no desire there. I want to say unto you, be careful where you put your mouth. If you're one of the ones that you think that, and you know who you are, you don't want to know no more. You know, some people don't want to know no more because they don't want to do no more. And they figure that the more they know, the more they're going to end up having to do. So they prefer or chooses not to know anymore or know anything about the Word of God. And so they believe that through that, oh, I'm exempt. I don't have to do nothing because I don't know. And some of these people talk like they're so educated in the scriptures. Well, it's just time. God took them. You know, there's a time to die. And I guarantee you, you ask most of them, say, okay, where that scripture found at? Where is it in the Bible? I know it's in the Bible. In the Bible where? Most time they can't even tell you. Why? Because they're just repeating something they heard either a preacher say or just somebody said. Amen. And these people, you know, they have this knack. Like I said, I've seen it in my lifetime, my walk as a Christian, I've seen quite a few of them. And they're the biggest educator on the scripture. And many times I've heard them try to quote a scripture. Sometimes they don't even quote a scripture right. But they try to do it to justify something they have done or doing. And I have to tell sometimes that, you know what, you don't even know what you're talking about. My Lord. Jesus Christ is the most blamed person in history, period. People have blamed him so that they just have forgotten that the devil. Let me get more specific. Some professing Christians have blamed him so to a point like they just forgot there is a devil. And because they would not get into the Word and let the Word enlighten them about why certain things happen. The first person name they got to throw up is Jesus. And he did it. It's their time. And he did it. Once again, I say unto you, if somebody was going around saying something and saying that you said it or you did it, you would get hot and explode like dynamite. You'll be so mad. I don't like nobody going around saying nothing that I didn't say. Well, what do you think God feels? He's a person. How do you think he feel when you just talking all out the way, but you don't even get in the Word to study? How do you think he feel? Because you're stepping out on the platform saying, well, God said, and you ain't popped the Bible open in I don't know how long. What's so bad about it? Some that even go to service don't even have a Bible, but sometimes they sitting there, maybe holding a little child, and just sitting there, just rocking them on their leg, and looking all around the room and back and forth while the preacher preaching. They don't even pop over the Bible then. Much less they don't show up for Sunday school. But it's funny, when these things come up, you're one of the first ones to say, it was his time. God took him. When God calls you to go, God calls you to go. And I'm like, where are you getting that from? Amen. And like I said, the other dangerous thing that you got many pulpits preaching is, and now people, when they losing people close to them, they so mad at God, shoot, they like forget God. And you better not dare even approach them about God, because if you do, you might well get ready to duck or something, because they want to do physical harm. Do you know some people are so, quote, mad at God concerning a loved one or somebody being taken or something happened to them, something like that, that if you go to them and say, you know what, Jesus can deliver you, they want to hurt you. You know, some of y'all heard my testimony. I think I testified about this. I don't know, was it a year or two ago on Blog Talk Radio? I think I told it, but give you an example of something like that. We was going on missionary work in Canton, Mississippi, which is about 45 minutes from here, me and another brother in the church. And we was handing out messages. We was going house to house. And we went to this particular house, and I'm trying to think. I don't think it was a car in the driveway. No, I don't think it was. Or it might have been. But we went up to the door and knocked on the door, and nobody came. So while we were standing in the driveway, this guy pulled up in this truck. It was like a plumbing truck, like he's a plumber. I think it was his own business. So he gets out, and I'm standing in the driveway. My brother that was with me, he was standing, I think he was standing a little under the carport, and he started walking away from it. And so the guy, as he was walking towards the door, he spoke, and I spoke to him, but I thought about giving him a message, but I got the sense of disturbance. That sense I got was not peace, and I didn't heed it, okay? So when he knocked on the door, nobody came. He said, was anybody here? And we said, we just come up. We knocked on the door, didn't nobody come. And then I turned around and said, well, you know, the Lord want me to give you this. And when I gave him that message, if y'all would have saw how mad he got. I mean, I gave him the message. The only thing he did was glance down, looked at it. He got so mad, he was shaking his fist. And he wasn't no more than probably like, I don't know, 2 or 3 feet from me. And he was mad enough, like he was on to do something. And he said, this stuff have made my mama sick. I said, what? Now, see, he was of what you call the black Hebrews. So he was saying, well, we were giving what the white man stuff, okay? Amen. But I'm just giving you a little example of how people get so much. Now, you got people that get mad like that when they have lost somebody close to them and have heard this preaching on, you know, it was their time and God took them. So now that person is hot mad at God. And here you coming up saying, you know, Jesus the Comforter. Oh, they ready to do something to you now. They'll tell you in a minute, man, don't come talking to me about no Jesus. Because if Jesus loved me so, he wouldn't have took my husband. He wouldn't have took my daughter. He wouldn't have took my wife and blah, blah. He wouldn't have did all this and took them in the wreck. They're going to run down the whole thing to you. And for the most part, you might as well just walk away. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, if you listen, if you're a minister, please hear this. If you're just a layman in the church, please hear this. Study the word of God to find out why certain things happen and who's doing what. Please do that. Okay? Because to keep blaming my God all the time, I mean, that's an offense to me. I'm going to be honest with you. That's an offense to me. I mean, I don't like when people get up, well, it's his time, here's the time, God took him. I said, wait a minute, what you talking about? You mean God took him? And like I said, some of those who are willingly ignorant, they wants to argue you down. But if you sit there and say, well, wait, that stuff you talking, where is that found in the scripture? Oh, no, but it's in the Bible. I don't know, ain't getting me nowhere. If you gonna call yourself speaking on the, quote, behalf of God to say do that, well, you need to know what you're saying. My Lord. my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so the guy I was telling y'all about, like I said, he bring it up with Nate. If it's your time, and blah, blah. I said, what? And see, like I said, he has said that to me before. If I had to think off the top of my head, maybe on a couple of occasions before. And it always was centered around, you know, somebody that had got sick or died or something like that. And I had to tell him. And this guy, quote, goes to church. And one time I had led him to the Lord, but he has not shown no interest in the word of God or in the things of God. And I had to tell him that day, I said, man, you must act like there's no devil. I said, you just blaming God for everything. And you must think there's no devil. I asked him, is there a devil? Is he there? Because according to Jesus in John 10, he says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And like I told him, through sin, you can get on Satan's ground. And if you get on Satan's ground, he has a right to do something to you. Just like looking at nature, those of you that own land and you put a no trespass sign up there, well, if somebody walk past the sign and just go ahead and start doing something on your land, you got the right to call the police or have them put in jail for trespassing, right? Well, see, when you get on the devil's ground through sin, he has a right to afflict you. In fact, here's what people keep once again not getting into their head. God is a just God. And God has to even be just with the devil. Amen. Just because the devil low down, God don't need to be low down. That's not his nature. If he do that, he's operating in the same nature as Satan. So when the devil come and say, you know, Lord, you told me not to do such thing, and they doing it, and I got the right to do this, but then many times God has to let them go ahead. Why? Because he got legal right. If you don't believe me, I tell you what. Either you know a house where got a bunch of witches practicing witchcraft, you just go in there and run up in there without God sending you and see what happens. Amen. See what happens. You will come out there hurt and mad at God because you're like, God, why you show up with your power and stop it from here? God gonna tell you, I didn't send you in there. You was on the devil's ground. He had a right. Now, if I sent you in there under my authority, even though you're on the ground, you'd be protected. But see, you went on your own through sin. You on the devil's ground, and so he had a right to afflict you, and I had to let him do it. Oh my God, we don't talk too much about this in the body of Christ. Now, we don't talk too much about this. See, that's why you got so many people, when you start talking about holiness, they frowning up, lip poked out, and all that. They say, and they tune you off right quick because they say, you're judging me. Don't, you can't judge me. You're judging me. Oh, please, go back and study that scripture and see what Jesus was talking about in the judging process. See, most people that are repeating that, they're just repeating what they heard, not what they studied. Most of these gospel quotes, as they call them, stars, who take a scripture and make a song, many of them, they're going by just what they heard. It's not so much that they have a study life of the word of God. They're just taking the scriptures and making songs out of them. Well, you can say amen, oh me, anyhow, I don't know. You can say whatever you want to say. Amen. Hallelujah. My God is the most blamed person in history. And in this day and time, he's going to remain number one. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God has been teaching me through the years on that. And, you know, and just letting me see, like, say, how people just, they just are up and somebody died. Oh, it was the Lord's will. Oh, it was their time. And I asked him, I said, well, can they die before their time? Well, if your time, it's your time. I said, yeah, but I asked you, can they die? He said, oh, so you telling me they can't die before their time? Wow. So everything they did and got into that led up to their death, you saying it was their time for them to die, to go out that way? No. No. And I was just thinking about this yesterday. This, when all this was coming to me, like I said, this came to me after I had the conversation with the guy. And my Lord, and I say it to you that are listening, you know you ain't been getting in the word, but you study powwowing by God this and God that and God this. Once again, here's a word of warning to you. Be careful where you put your mouth. Be careful where you put your mouth concerning God. Be very careful. Because if you're playing the blame game on God, and especially others hear it, and you have others looking up to you, see, you causing souls to turn away. Because as soon as they lose somebody close to them, they're infuriated at God. And you can't tell them nothing about Jesus now, because they mad at God, say, if God's such a loving God, how come he took my brother or my mama or my daddy or my sister? That ain't no loving God. And then they'll tell you, I don't want to hear about him. You go tell someone else. Amen. The most blamed person in history is Almighty God. My Lord and my God, my Jesus. Hallelujah. And I have been thinking on that. And like I said, I just listen to people being so quick to say that. When God said study to show thyself approved and all that, he wasn't just talking to one person or just one race or just one gender. All his people. All his people. But once again, thank you, Jesus. And we fail once again to understand that there's a devil. And so we're blaming God for whatever. Amen. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? I remember when in the parable Jesus said the enemy came and sowed tares with the wheat. And remember what the men asked. You know, if we can look at it, they asked the Lord Jesus, said, didn't you sow good seed? When this happened? And what did Jesus tell? Said the enemy had done this. Amen. Hallelujah. There are some of you that's listening. You actually went to God about a situation like that, and God told you, said the enemy done this. And when God gave that revelation, you had to explain it to others because you was coming across others who were blaming God. My Lord, let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, for this broadcast and this opportunity you've given me to share your word to the people. Father, I pray that you would water the seed that I've sown, that it may bring forth the increase glory and honor in your name. Thank you, Lord, once again for helping me along this way to deliver your message. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all you that have been listening on the broadcast. And the Lord say the same. Tomorrow night, you know, Lord willing, Lord enable me to, you can look for another advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. If not, it will be Thursday. But look for the advertisement. Amen. So I thank God for all you that have been listening. It's a brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. God loves you and I love you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey.
Good program.
Huh?